Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
I'm happy for Mike Leach. I'm happy anytime I see a person who has worked hard, has had success. I'm happy to see him get other opportunities. I think that's the American way. There's nothing more American than advancing yourself, your career, working hard, being rewarded because of it. I'm also kind of sad, though, because I liked having Mike Leach on the radio show regularly. So I've dragged him back on the show. He's been kind enough to make a few minutes time for us, and he's coming at us. Where are you, Starkville?
Right now I'm in Key West because I got some peace and quiet here to do all the calls, fill out the staff, and because if you think about it, until I'm allowed to go on the road, most of my stuff's on the phone, and then I'll go on the road Monday, and then. It's a rat race. I'll tell you what, and it always is. I knew it was going to be, and then. Now I do expect to be on the radio show all the time, though. Nevertheless.
Okay. All right, we'll do it.
I'm excited. You know, another chapter, another opportunity. I'm excited about that. It's real hard for me to leave Pullman, and I love Pullman. I love Washington State. I love everything that it entailed, and I think that they hired a guy that's a friend of mine, and it's a great coach, in my opinion, Nick Rolovich, and I'll go back to Pullman and visit those people. And I love Pullman, though. And, that was just a great piece of my career, in my opinion.
How fast does that happen when you get hired at another place? Literally, do you just pick up and go, and then you figure out what to do with the house and packing up and all that?
Oh, shoot. And it is. And that's the other thing is. Okay, so what happens is you end up on a plane, you go to a press conference, you scramble around, you meet a bunch of people, and they're great people, but the other thing is you have a tough time keeping it straight because you don't even know which hall you're in, even if you've been in it two or three times because, you know, you're moving all over. Then the most important thing is to put together the staff so that you can get some help and duplicate your efforts, and then finish out the recruiting class. It's not easy, but it's easier nowadays. At Mississippi State, we have 22 guys already signed, and 9 of them are on campus. So we're not filling as many spots as, you know, we would have a couple years back. But, it's a scramble. And just like you say on the house, you kind of tend to all of it when you can, but just get there. You live out of a suitcase and get ready for spring ball, and then somewhere around spring break, you try to patch it all back together, you know.
Mike Leach with us, Mississippi State head football coach. The cowbell, did you already own that, or did somebody put that in your hand on the plane?
No, they have to be given to you. That's part of the tradition. Ah. You can't go buy yourself a cowbell. They have to be given to you. and so they gave me a cowbell. And also I'm told it's important to hold it above your head for the most noise out of those suckers. But it's a great tradition. Most people have a bunch of them, almost like a trophy. And so those cowbells are raging all over the place. It's outstanding.
I know that, you know, when the stuff came out about pirates and all that, and then you talked battle axes over the years, fans would send you the pirate stuff and battle axe stuff. So when you go now, you're at Mississippi State, do you receive like a whole nother wave of stuff from the Mississippi State fans who want to send you like Jack Sparrow and pirate stuff?
It's a little early to tell on the pirate stuff. I suspect there's going to be some of that because there was at Washington State. And, you know, everybody likes good pirate stuff. And, I mean, heck, yeah, you're the envy of every 10-year-old in the neighborhood, you know. So, and quietly and silently, most adults. But, you know, because everybody on some level likes, whether they're on the pirate side or the other side, they like the, you know, the adventure of all of it and, you know, traveling, seeing stuff and the rest. So, I think I'll probably get some pirate stuff. And we're pretty close to the Gulf there, too, and not too far from New Orleans. So I don't think it'll be particularly out of place either, you know.
Mike Leach with us, Mississippi State head football coach. You got a chance to see LSU play in the championship game, I'm sure, and you know the SEC. What kind of challenge is that going to be for you?
Well, I think it'll be a huge challenge. I think that but there's a lot of great players in the state of Mississippi and nearby. And then, you know, it's like anything. You've got to go out there and just fight like crazy and battle and see what you can do. And I'm looking forward to it. It reminds me a little of, you know, the when I was in the Big 12 South, that was the SEC West. Each year you would start out, you know, Oklahoma and Texas were both going to be in the top five. Nebraska was going to be near there. In the top 10, you were going to have Texas A&M and Kansas State. And then depending who was hot, some combination of Missouri, Colorado, Kansas, and Oklahoma State. And then, you know, we'd go out there and play. And at the end of the season, you know, once we got rolling, we'd lose the one. We'd not play one or two. And get the rest of them. And so, you know, that's the thing. You just got to hang in there and do the best you can.
Mike Leach with us, Mississippi State head football coach. And, you know, a lot of people in industries will move jobs, and there's a season for all things, it's been said. How did you know it was the right time for you?
You know, it's always hard to move. I've never found it easy to move. I guess the biggest thing is a new challenge, a new place, new things to see. And you know, it's a mixture, really, to be honest with you, I have a deal where I have a problem and a paranoia that I'm going to miss out on something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so right now it bothers me the stuff I'd miss out at it. Washington State, but by the same token, part of the reason I guess I moved was, I didn't want to miss out on some experiences in another region of the country, you know.
Sometimes with coaches, we don't think about families. I know, is your daughter who once lived in Portland, is she now closer to you there? And you're obviously closer to Key West, and you've got a recruiting area that will probably leave you home more. Is that easier on the family?
A lot of the recruiting's driving there because the region's smaller. So you're not on a plane as much. I got a daughter in Atlanta. Her and her husband are doctors there in Atlanta. And then my daughter that was in Portland, she's in Oklahoma City, and which is still a ways away. Where she's a reading specialist and does elementary ed, and her husband, he works in admissions there at the OU Medical Center.
Coach, I know that, you know, you did a lot at Washington State. You raised the profile of the program. You won a ton of games. I look back at all the fun you had and the profile and the attention that was drawn there. What were you most proud about at Pullman?
Yeah, you don't know if I have a specific answer. Really, all the great people I had the opportunity to work with, you know, the players, coaches, you go out there and something you didn't think was possible, say when you signed some kid, and then all of a sudden, you know, you exceed that, you know, just kind of the growth that exists and takes place in practice. That's why it's so tough for coaches to retire, to let go of something like that, because I think it does get consuming.
Will you miss the Pac-12?
I'll miss the variety, the region to it. Yeah, I'll definitely miss the Pac-12. The biggest problem is you can't be everywhere at the same time.
Coach, you know, I look at sort of what the Pac-12 has become. You're going from a Power 5 conference that is viewed maybe because of leadership in the conference is, you know, maybe the fourth or fifth best conference to the one that is clearly number one. Did that play a factor for you? Did you want to play against the best?
Well, I think that's part of it. But of course, you know, you've got more resources yourself there, too. And then, that was a factor to a point. But, you know, I guess the change, to be a part of something else and see something different and experience the variety that life offers, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think, you know, it's going to be so much fun for us to watch you disrupt things there and do what you've done at every stop. You've got, I'm assuming now, you're the offensive coordinator, you're the play caller. Are you focused on the defensive side of the ball? Is that what you're doing on the phone these days?
Yeah, we're sorting out the positions and defensive coordinator, that type of thing.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We will have you back on. I just don't want to bug you. I don't want to be that guy from the Pacific Northwest that keeps pulling you on the show.
Oh, no. Your show's classic, and the conversations we have are classic. And it's some of the best radio ever. And I was in radio briefly, definitely not an expert at it, but I was a guy that dabbled in it. And I know the difference between good radio and so-so radio. And some of what we did was great radio, and there's no question about that.
Now, I know you wrote the book on Geronimo. You've got, you know, you've taught a class. What are you doing right now?
Walking and talking.
Do you get?
I got tired of sitting, so now I'm walking and talking.
Do you get recognized as much there yet as you did in Pullman?
Yeah, quite a bit. So I guess that's good. A lot of good people, and you know, it's flattering. They take an interest in football and what you're up to, and I think that's one of the greatest things about football is the capacity it has to bring people together.
Now, I mentioned the book on Geronimo. Did you learn anything from Geronimo that helps you when you have to make a decision like this? It's a big life decision.
Yeah, he did it kind of like Yogi Berra. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. He was decisive, and then you just do the best and make it right, you know.
Coach, appreciate you. Wish you the best. We'll be in touch. Good luck.
All right. Well, thanks so much. It's great to hear from you.
You too. Congratulations. There it is. And congratulations to his whole family. I think, I think of it from a family perspective. He's on the road less. His wife, Sharon, that means more nights where he's going to just be driving. And nobody happier, by the way, when Mike Leach said, I'm happy to come on regularly. I still want to be on the show than Alabama Adriana, who is down there. Nobody happier than you when he said that.
Yeah, he's the best. Even though he walks around and gets into really loud places all the time.
Do we have a blind spot for Mike Leach? Because some people say he's a bully, he's mean to his players, all this other stuff. And I'm like, man, his players know what they're signing on for when they go to play for Mike Leach.
Yeah, I mean, personally, he's never been ugly to me or on the show. So from what I know of him, he's a good person. Yeah, like you said, the players know what they're signing up for.
And I also, from a media standpoint, look, part of the show is entertainment. I think he likes coming on because we talk about different things on the show. I know I talk to him off air. I've had long conversations with him off air. He's the same off air that he's on there. Rambling, interesting, never the same twice. Sometimes he's really interested in something that I've written that has nothing to do with college football. He wants to know more about it. And in the end, I was sad for Washington State because I think it was kind of a dark day when he decided he was leaving. I had Washington State fans who were like, this is not good. What are they going to do? And I think they have spun out of it. If you're a Washington State fan, you've spun out of this in a way where you got Nick Rolovich, the Hawaii coach is coming in. You're still going to air it out. You're still going to go, you know, empty backfield and throw the ball all over the stadium. Rolovich has still got some attitude. He's still a little bit like Leach. But I also feel like Mississippi State is getting a coach who's extremely disruptive to the status quo. I rather enjoy seeing Mike Leach, who, you know, part of the problem too with Leach, I think he walks into a news conference and I think that there are some media who cover coaches on a regular basis who just expect to be spoon-fed. And I think Leach is the wrong kind of person to be at the front of the room if you're just looking to be spoon-fed. If you ask a dumb question, I think he's going to call you on it. If you're somebody who covers them on a regular basis as a beat reporter, I think he's going to get tired of you at some point. I think there's going to be a problem. I know. I covered somebody way worse and more challenging than Mike Leach. I covered Bobby Knight. But I also, when I was covering Bobby Knight as a beat reporter, I also was well aware, like, there were moments of genius in there. You understood all of a sudden, like, I understand why this works. I understand why he wins. I understand why kids want to play for him. Now, I think Leach's genius has been that, and you know what? Here's another thing. If you're a Mississippi State fan who's listening to this, I think he sounded refreshed there versus Peter. Can you vouch for me there?
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, Leach is Leach, but it's tough to put your finger on it, but there was just a slightly different tone, a little bit of bounce in his voice.
More
wasn't there?
Energy. There was more energy. I think, here's what I think happened. I think he had kind of done everything he could do at Washington State. I think he was looking maybe a year ago to get out, almost got the Tennessee job, didn't get it. I think that it was kind of the, you ever have a dark year where you go, the year ends, the ball drops at Times Square, and you go, I want to put that year behind me. I think 2019 was Mike Leach's let's put that year behind me year. He sounded so much better there than he has in maybe to me in all the appearances we have him on, like in a year.
Also, I think he was allergic to Pullman because he did not cough one time during that whole interview.
Charlie's in Vancouver. Charlie, go ahead.
John, I think Leach just gave you the biggest high five that a radio guy could ever get. That was like winning an award. I thought it was him just even coming on and saying, hey, I'd like to come back. When I heard that, I thought, wow, that guy is so real and so appreciates it on both ends. Hey, I'm doing something for you, and you're doing a little bit for me, too. Not near as much because you're up here in the Northwest now, but that he said that, yeah, you're the classiest program. These are great radio. First of all, he's right. And secondly, you just don't hear guys say stuff like that. They may tell you in private or something like that, but it's like almost, I thought it was just awesome. And congratulations. I thought it was just fantastic. And I think looking at the horses that he has coming back, he's got to be smiling. Both lines, he is going to compete. And I'll bet that he gets the best graduate transfer in the country coming in.
He's going to disrupt the SEC if that's possible. And I think it's going to become, he's going to be a tough out, even if he doesn't win games right away. Because remember, he was 3-9 early at Washington State. And he's going into a conference where they just beat your brain in. But he's going to win 4 non-conference games at Mississippi State. And then it's just a matter of what can you do the rest of the way. We'll not be surprised if he's bowl eligible. We'll not be surprised if he's disruptive. And to the point, like, I realize when, you know, there are coaches that I do connect with and coaches that I don't. I happen to connect with Jonathan Smith and Mario Cristobal very well. I think the stable of coaches we have in the state of Oregon right now, Kelly Graves, Scott Ruick, I mean, there are some guys that I just love having on the show. They're just good. But I also think that Leach, I just understand him, and I think you do too as a listener. I'm not looking for him to give me his game plan. He's not going to do that. I'm not going to ask him, what's the secret to stopping Mike Leach, and he's going to unveil it on the show. But I want to know, like, you know, what does he think about politics? What does he think about Geronimo? What does he think about space aliens and, you know, Pluto no longer being a planet? And he's always had good answers. He's been entertaining. He's been interesting to me. And there just have been a couple of times where it's been 10 o'clock. My wife's waiting for me. She's like, she's got a Netflix show on pause. I'm on the phone. She's looking over at me. And I just hold my phone up because the guy on the other end is not taking a breath. And it's Mike Leach. And she just nods like, okay, I understand. He's explaining quantum physics right now. You got the bald-faced truth. Michael Avenatti is in custody in Los Angeles, I'm told. Stormy Daniels' attorney. We'll spin out of Mike Leach and go into that. New Year's Eve. I don't know where did you guys spend your New Year's Eve? We never talked about this because I was out, you know, and you guys were. Where did you spend New Year's Eve?
In bed with a flu.
You were sick?
Yep.
No party.
It was terrible.
No champagne?
No. I thought I had a ticket to go out with my roommates, but
ticket for what?
For like an event thing in a bar.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just some little small gathering, but I was going to go out. Like all night I was texting my roommates, okay, just give me like one more hour. And then at about 10 o'clock at night, I was like, I'm not making it up.
You needed an IV. You needed like a special team getting you ready. Like it was game 6 of the NBA Finals.
It was something else.
So did you even watch? Like did you even do the ball dropping thing?
I was watching Grey's Anatomy. And I had the countdown on my computer, and so I counted it down by myself, you know.
Good for you.
It was nice.
It was 2019 a year where you went, great year, wish it could last longer, or do you look forward into 2020 and go, this is my year, I'm excited that that's behind me?
I think I learned a lot from 2019, but I think that I have a lot to accomplish in 2020 with it being my graduation year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bigger things for me to be doing.
What did you do for New Year's?
DNP, coach's decision. I didn't do anything.
Nothing.
Nothing.
You guys are stayed no fun.
Yeah.
So the whole family was down in Southern California. We brought everybody down. And it was obviously the Rose Bowl was about to happen the next day. So it wasn't like it was going to be a big. Plus, we had a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old with us. So it wasn't going to be like a big party scene. But we went down to Huntington Beach to the pier on Huntington Beach. And there's a little drag. There's a main drag for people who know that area. There's a main street there that has like restaurants and stuff. We had no reservation, nothing like. Literally, like, we didn't know what we were going to do for dinner or anything. It wasn't going to be special. It was just, and we found this Turkish restaurant that is called Coaches. And it was amazing. It was the kind of place where they're like breaking dishes and dancing and, you know, a lot of culture going on. And the food was amazing. And the atmosphere was amazing. And we just walked in and they said, hey, yeah, you know, just you guys. Yeah, okay, we got room for 5. Come on in. And it ended up, we were like looking at each other like, is this really happening? Like we just walked in. We didn't have to wait, nothing. It was pretty cool. Granted, it was probably 5:30. Okay, it was early. But then we ended up back in the hotel room. And, you know, we have kids that are not going to stay up till midnight. So we found a TV station that had the East Coast feed of New Year's Rockin' Eve on, and we fooled the kids into thinking, oh, we're like 10, 9, and the 17-year-old that's with us is like, happy 9 o'clock. And we're like, 2020 is on. And so we fooled them. To this day, they don't know. Until they listen to the podcast, they don't know they were celebrating 9 o'clock in 2019. But that's how we roll. Okay? That's how we do it. And a lot of parents out there, you're probably nodding with me because you did the same damn thing. All right. Coming up, we're going to Southern California, where Megan Cuniff of the LA Daily Journal has been in court with Michael Avenatti. Remember, this is the guy that's accusing Nike of doing some bad things. He's under fire.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.